One of the fairly valid criticisms that gets levelled at me from time to time is that people sometimes say, Ben, could you maybe, like, you're very entertaining. Well, I can probably have this down a little bit here, Kevin. I'm not as shy and retiring as I look, so I can probably have a microphone that's not so loud. Cheers. But people say, Ben, you're very entertaining, but do you think that sometimes you could preach from the Bible? And I think that that's probably a pretty good call. So today, you know, people sometimes say, you know, could you just take us a little bit deeper? Take us into the Bible, take us into the Word. And so today I'm going to switch styles slightly. And for those of you who love a good exegetical preach, we're going to go a little bit into the Bible today. And I'm picking the theme of Trinity with a focus on the Holy Spirit because it was Pentecost last week and today is Trinity Sunday. And we did Pentecost a little bit lightly because we had all the kids in with us. So today you get the really deep, meaty theology. So are you ready? Great. I didn't even wait for an answer. So we're going to cover the Bible from cover to cover. We're going to start at Genesis chapter 1 and we're going to finish at Revelation 22. The doors have been shut and sealed, so you can't just slip out like you're going to the bathroom and just disappear into the car park and head for home. But I promise that we'll be done before dinner time anyway. How's that? All right, so let's just get started because we've got a lot to cover. Have you ever guys ever seen how big this book is? There's a lot in it. So we're going to get started. We're going cover to cover. So we're going to start Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Start at the beginning. And here we go. Settle in. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. You're right. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now let's just pause there and we'll just go in a little bit in depth. I realize we've got a bit to cover, but I think this is important. See, sometimes when we talk about the Trinity, we talk about, everyone's pretty comfortable with the Father, God the Father, with that idea that there is a loving Father who created us and whose plan overarches our lives. And we're fairly comfortable talking about Jesus because we can read about Jesus in the Gospels and He's God incarnate. He's amongst us. So God the Son is, we can kind of see him, read about him, talking and sharing and praying and doing all the things that we see Jesus doing during the Gospels. But when we come to the Holy Spirit, sometimes people get a little bit freaked out. And I don't think it helps that we used to call it the Holy Ghost, all right? You know, that's kind of a little bit freaky in itself. But sometimes people get a little bit scared when we talk about the Holy Spirit. Like the Holy Spirit was just invented in some sort of 70s revival meeting that got a little out of hand. You know, you meet these people like that sometimes. But in our opening passage today, we see that the Holy Spirit was there at the beginning. The Holy Spirit was there at the point of creation, hovering over the deep. And then when God spoke, the breath of God, the Spirit of God, came in power, and all that we see around us came into being. Now that's a pretty huge thought when you think about it, isn't it? The power of God, the Spirit of God, bringing the whole of creation into being, right there at the beginning. And if you're trying to get your head around that, we can bring it into a smaller sense in a way. Like one of the most amazing moments in my life was seeing Jacob in utero on the ultrasound, you know, on the screen. And if you've had that experience, and it is Mother's Day, if you've had that experience, it's incredible. You get to see creation going on right there on the screen in front of you. And if you read Psalm 139, you see that God and his Spirit is at work within us before we're even born. God is working in us, shaping us, and molding us. The Spirit of God bringing life, breathing life into us from the moment before we're born even. So that's the beginning of Genesis. And as we move through Genesis and we go into Exodus and in particularly to Judges, we see that God calls men and women to serve him. And God calls all sorts of men and women. They're not like superheroes. Some of them are sort of fairly average characters actually. But God has a plan. And when God wants his plan fulfilled, he fills them with his Holy Spirit and they go out and do amazing things, right? So think about your favorite character from Genesis. It might be Abraham or Isaac or Jacob. Think about Moses. You know, God calls Moses and says, go speak to the Pharaoh to set my people free. And Moses says, nah, I'm not very good at speaking. And God says, don't worry, I'll sort it out. Fills him with the Spirit, and he has this power to lead his people to freedom. And then we get into Judges, and like I say, some of the judges are pretty awesome, and some of them are fairly dodgy characters. My personal favorite probably is a woman called Deborah, who drove a tent peg through an opposing general's head. And I just think that that's a woman not to be messed with, you know? So, yeah. So there's a whole lot of men and women who get filled with the Holy Spirit at certain times and end up doing amazing things for God. God resources his plans through the power of his Holy Spirit. And then as we progress through the Bible a little bit further, we're going quite quickly at the moment, so we might actually get out of here before lunch. But as we keep going, we come to the kings, we come to David and the power of the Spirit in his life, and then we roll over into the prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, and into the minor prophets as well. And we see that as the Spirit of God comes upon the prophets, we see that they are enabled to share the word of God with God's people. Sometimes they're not just enabled, sometimes they're compelled. They just can't hold it in. They just have to speak it out because the Spirit is so at work in their lives. One of my favorite verses is in Jeremiah when he says, God, I keep preaching your word, but they don't want to hear it. No one wants to hear it. I wish I could just stop, but I can't because there's a fire burning within me. And if I tried to be silent, I couldn't. It just overflows. And that's the work of the Spirit in Jeremiah's life. Not just enabling him, but compelling him to go and proclaim who God is to his people. And then we come to a prophet like Ezekiel today. And before the verse that we had today, the chapter that we had today, we see that God says, I've got a plan. And here's how this plan is going to work. I am going to fill each person, not just the superheroes of our faith, but I'm going to fill each person with my Spirit. I'm going to take from them their hard hearts, and my Holy Spirit is going to replace them with soft hearts. I'm going to do a work of transformation within each person. And in the next chapter, it's not just about personal transformation, but it's about community transformation. And we see that God's people are kind of dead and buried. God shows Ezekiel this valley of dry bones and says, do you believe that my people can live? And Ezekiel says, only you know, God. And God breathes the life of his Spirit into those dry bones. And they are resurrected, brought back to life. And you know, we see this throughout history as well, where churches have sometimes just declined, and then there's been a move of the Spirit of God, and suddenly new life has come, which is amazing. I love that. The Spirit of God can transform our own hearts as individuals, but can also transform whole communities of people. I just think that's really, really cool. And then we get on to like some of the minor prophets, and you get the sense that God's plan to do a new thing, not just to anoint people, certain people to do amazing things, but to fill each of us, is coming to fruition. And just before Jesus is born, there's kind of this move of the Spirit where a young woman becomes pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then her cousin, that they meet and they're both pregnant, and the Spirit starts prompting John to get excited within her womb. They get excited because they can sense that the Messiah is coming. And Jesus is born and that all unfolds, but we see even early in Jesus' life, when he's 12, he kind of ditches his parents and goes to the synagogue, and they're looking for him and they find him. And everyone's kind of gathered around this 12-year-old kid, like Alex there this morning, kind of going, this kid, he's amazing. How does he know all this stuff that he's sharing about God? The power of the Holy Spirit to proclaim who God is. We go ahead a little bit and we see the start of Jesus' ministry, and it begins when he seeks out John to be baptized. And as he's baptized, the Spirit of God comes down on him like a dove, gentle like a dove, and affirms who he is. This is my Son, with whom I am well pleased. And then the Spirit leads Jesus off into the desert, into the wilderness, which is not a great time. It's 40 days and 40 nights, and it's not great. It's hard, it's refining. But the Spirit of God sustains Jesus through that and leads him back. And when he comes back, he goes into the temple again, into the synagogue again. And he goes in and he stands up and reads the words of the prophet Isaiah, that the Spirit of God is upon me. And the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, release for the captives, recovery of sight for the blind, and liberty for those who are oppressed, to proclaim that this today is the day in which God can bring salvation. You know, and I read those words, I'm just like, yeah, that sounds really awesome. I love it. The Spirit of God is upon him doing this stuff. It's amazing. And so we see Jesus and the power of the Spirit going out and healing people and setting people free and proclaiming the kingdom of God and seeing people come to faith. It's just amazing. And at the end of his ministry, as we heard in our gospel reading today, he gathers his disciples and he says to them, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm returning to my Father. I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. And if I return to the Father, you'll not be left alone, but we're going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's our promise, so you won't be alone. So that wherever you go, God goes with you. He will be your comforter. He will be your counselor. He will be your guide. And he says to him, you won't understand all this yet, but you're going to understand it in the future. And the disciples are like, where are you going, Jesus? But anyway, so things unfold and Jesus is arrested. He's crucified. He's dead. And he's buried. And then on the third day, the Spirit of God, the power of God, raises him to life. You know, and it's worth remembering that because sometimes we come to places in our lives where something feels so dead inside. You know, but Paul picks up on this theme in the epistles when he says, just remember that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is present and alive in you. Think about that for a moment. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is present and alive in you. So even when we get to those places where hope is lost, where our dreams feel dead within us, there is the possibility that God can bring resurrection life through the infilling of his Spirit, which I think is really exciting. So we see Jesus is raised from the dead and he gathers the guys again and he says, right, I want you to wait here in Jerusalem for the gift that I've promised you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is poured out upon you, then you'll be empowered to be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all the way over to New Zealand, right to the ends of the earth. And so the disciples are obedient. They wait there in Jerusalem. And as we heard last week on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God is poured out upon the church and it's kind of this incredible time of worship and they see the tongues of fire, but they're unable to spill out onto the street. They are compelled to go out onto the street where God-fearing people have gathered in Jerusalem for a big religious festival. And they pour out on the street and they start proclaiming the goodness of God in all these different tongues. And people are amazed. They're like, wait a minute, aren't these people all Galileans? How come we can understand what they are saying to us about God? How is this possible? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, gets up to preach. And you guys will know Peter, right? Enthusiastic chap, not unlike myself. But you know, he kind of flunked out of high school to take up his father's apprenticeship job, kind of being a fisherman, right? And he had all that enthusiasm about Jesus, but when the acid came on, who is hugely enthusiastic, but has made some dreadful mistakes. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was enabled to go and preach the most amazing sermon. And we heard a clip from the sermon today in that reading. You know, this must be one of the most powerful sermons in history, because when you hear what happened, that over 3,000 people decided to follow Jesus because of that sermon. This is Peter. Ordinary old Peter, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So if that's what Peter can, if that's what the Holy Spirit could do in Peter, what could the Holy Spirit do in us? That's pretty cool, isn't it? Now, I said we were going to cover the whole Bible, so let's move into the epistles. And when we move into the epistles, there are two points that I want to kind of bring out. And the first is that when Paul talks about the work of the Holy Spirit in us in Galatians, Paul says, walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, because if you do, the fruit of the Spirit will grow in your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. That's the work that God wants to do in us, the work of the Holy Spirit within us. And so that's one thing that God is doing within us, but God's not just doing something within us, that work of transformation within us. He wants to do something within the whole church. And so we read in Romans 12 that the Spirit of God gives each of us spiritual gifts, so that when we use those spiritual gifts together, our church can be fully alive. And for the church to be fully alive, it requires all of us to use the gifts that God has given us. Because God has given me some pretty amazing spiritual gifts. Did you just cough? I want to say that again. God has given me some pretty amazing spiritual gifts. God has given you some pretty amazing spiritual gifts. The things that he's given to you are not what he's given to me. The things that he's given to me is not what he's given to you. But together, we can do something amazing with God. I promised I'd get all the way through the Bible before dinner time, and we're almost there. Just one more verse to share in Revelation as we get there. But before we do, I hope that in sharing about the work of the Holy Spirit, you've kind of been sitting there going, yeah, that could be quite exciting. What would life look like if my life was continually filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit? What would it look like in this church if we kind of had our own Pentecost day right here, right now? Would that be something that would be kind of exciting? Would you be? I reckon that would be pretty exciting. So hopefully, as I've talked about the work of the Holy Spirit through the Bible, you've been kind of having this growing sense of excitement, because we're going to have some time where we can wait upon God soon. But before we do, I just want to share a story. About 18 months ago, I was pretty dry and pretty broken. And I got to a place where I'd been doing ministry in this new church for a while, for 3 years, and it had been full on, and I was pretty empty and pretty dry. And I thought to myself, I need to dig a deeper well with God, because I feel so thirsty right now. And so I had to plan that we have this little rural church that's about 7K over the hill in Aharia Valley. And I went over there, and I hatched a plan that I'd go over there one night every week, and I'd spend the night there in prayer. And I hadn't done anything like that for a while, but I just felt I just needed to. And so I took my guitar, and I took a little thermos of tea, and I took some biscuits, and I just kind of camped out there and prayed and worshipped and spent time with God. And it was amazing, and it was also really hard. And one particular night, I had a song playing, that one, Broken Vessels. Jeff led it in worship a couple of weeks ago. And I just had it playing, and I just went up to the altar, and I just knelt at the rail there. And I said, God, why would you call me to this place if you knew it was going to break me? This ministry has been so hard. Why would you call me to this place if you knew it was going to break me? And I didn't really get an answer for it at the time. I just spent time in the presence of God and felt his love surround me. And slowly, little by little, as I went out there each night, I found myself being slowly refilled. But I think a year or so later, I think I have a bit of an answer to that question. And it kind of came as I started the sabbatical and we stopped at a church in America on the way here. And I think the answer is this. When I ask God, why did you call me if you knew this was going to break me? I think God never intended for me to get broken. I think God never intended me to go into ministry and wait upon him and be filled with the Spirit and minister out of his strength and power to everybody who brought every need that they had into our church to grow the church that he loves. That was God's plan. But what happened instead was I got really, really busy. I got so busy that I didn't have time to wait upon God anymore. I didn't have time to stop and rest and pray and spend these nights in his presence. I just got really busy chasing people around, taking funerals, doing weddings, running services, doing meetings, having worship team practices, preparing sermons, all the other things. I just got really, really busy, and I became really, really dry because I kept trying to do it in my own strength. And it doesn't just happen to priests. I imagine it happens to you too sometimes. When you get to a point in your life where you feel like you've been running pretty hard for a long time and you feel very dry. And so what I want to do today is I want to give us all an opportunity to be filled. I said I was going to go cover to cover on the Bible. So, the last chapter of the Bible is Revelation chapter 22. And in verse 17 it says this: "The Spirit of God and the bride, the church, say, 'Come.' And let all who hear say, 'Come.' Whoever is thirsty, let them come. And whoever wishes, let them take the free gift of the water of life." Today there is an opportunity for all of us to be filled with overflowing with the Holy Spirit. There's a chance for all of us who are thirsty for God to be satisfied here today. And so what I want to do in a moment is I'm just going to ask you to stand and we'll just wait. I'll play a quiet song. And as I do, we'll just see what God does in our midst.